CliffCentral.com. All right, hi, how are you doing? Are you okay? Good morning, everybody. We're here, we're live, it's Monday morning. Just after 6 o'clock, my computer completely had a meltdown.
You nearly had one too.
No, it just doesn't know, you know, it doesn't know whether it's a teapot or a hockey stick this morning. You know how your laptop sometimes just, the screen is not responsive at all, the beach ball of death appears, and then you have to reset the thing, and then you reset it, and then it asks you for your password, and you put it in, and then it resets, and you have to put in the password again, and now you start getting nervous.
Yeah. Oh, and so you just find any sound that you can play, which happens to be...
That's all I could find.
That's a real human being.
Any sound I could find. All right. Good morning. What's happening? How was everybody's weekend?
Good.
Yeah? Ben, how was Secunda?
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, you made it.
Made it back.
In one piece.
Now, be honest. What was it like?
I thought it was fascinating. Firstly, 1:40 to get there. Easy. Roads were good. I didn't see anyone die. It was fine. It was really cool. I get there, and the actual Graceland's cool.
Yes.
People were so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a place where everyone's like really friendly and happy.
Yep.
Top
that
of the
happens.
Pops
and that. It's a rare thing, but you do find it.
And I stayed in a lovely suite.
Ooh.
So, just great. It's like to be by myself.
Very nice.
Gaze over the horizons.
Oh, with a gaze there?
Yes.
Oh, gaze and Secunda, I've heard. Fabulous.
Why are they always on the horizon, though?
I don't know.
They get to come closer.
It's part of the sun salutations that we do in the morning.
Yeah, I had a good time. I just thought the place was so interesting because you've got that huge plant which is basically burning everything. There's like flames of Mordor coming
out. That's what I told you about.
And then there's this kind of beautiful golf course that's just kind of out of character.
You had some wind, though.
It's so windy there. It's like endlessly windy. But you have to have wind there because of all the crap that's coming out of those towers.
Otherwise, so it'll just sit there and
sits
hang.
Around.
Now, is that the actual place that they manufacture orcs?
I think so. I saw a couple of stray ones on the highway. And apparently that leads to a lot of road fatalities.
Orcs.
No, but I really believe, so as I'm about 5Ks out, and there's this coal truck that's tipped over.
Oh, shit.
Stopping everything, basically stopping the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys I play golf with are like, yeah, there's quite a lot of crashes around here. So I reckon there's more crashes in that area than anywhere I've ever been. You drive with extra caution, obviously.
Yeah.
But people, it's just a strange part of the world.
You think it's because of stray orcs?
Some of them cross the road at night. I don't know.
I imagine.
It's cool. Look, it's worth going to.
For
if you like golf and gambling.
You know, and they have a casino there as
well. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Two least favorite things.
Golf and gambling, and there's a great spa.
That's nice.
I had a good time, and I'm making a video around it so I can share the video with you, the whole experience of me 48 hours in Graceland.
Just even Googling,
I was pretty excited about
it. Just even Googling Secunda, their whole tourism PR thing is coal fields, the second largest coal mines, like this is where the plants are, industrial and commercial center.
That's the attraction.
What a catch.
I don't think they're pushing that for tourism. That's maybe...
That's all that pops up.
Does that make you want to go, Nolo?
No.
Avoid
the flames. No. Pack a mask. Sheesh, man.
Guys, look at me. I'm fine.
Ben, are you one of those people who expect... Are you one of those people who expect the worst in order not to be disappointed? Because when you said it was fine, you're back in one piece, you didn't see anyone die, I'm like, ooh.
I'm generally very realistic about things in life. And, yeah, I do. I generally have a slightly more cynical approach to things because of pure experience. But I would say, yeah, if you like golf, gambling, and just being away from home, that's not too far. Yeah.
Well, at least you're exploring the country.
I had a good time.
Good for you.
And I met new people of this great land.
Okay.
Graceland.
In Graceland.
I'm sorry. I have a different opinion of another small town in South Africa. I was in Bloemfontein this past few days. Oh, what? No. Please sign me up for a big town.
You
I need a
it?
City skyline.
What's wrong with Bloemfontein?
Oh,
what didn't happen? Were there no gays in the horizon?
No, that's it. There were no gays on the horizon. There was no optimistic.
So what, hang on. Why was it so shit? I've been to Bloom before. I like Bloom.
Yeah, once again,
it is just my own personal perspective. Firstly, on the flight there and back, there were probably, give or take, 5 moments on each flight where I genuinely considered and accepted my death. That's how windy and bumpy.
You tend to go on the little planes with the wheels that are on the wings.
Where you feel like if you sneeze once, it could put the plane off
the
balance.
Wings.
Yeah.
This is me not exaggerating. The plane was so bumpy that the cabin crew didn't serve food on the plane, and they virtually just threw us packets of nuts. Like, yo, see what you can do yourselves. We also need to sit down.
Yeah, but also, isn't it because the flight is so short, they're not really going to serve anything?
Yeah, they can't. They don't have time.
But just talk to us. 40 have something. So. I was served wine in the bottle, and that not one of those miniature bottles, a full bottle of wine, because the air hostess looked at me and she thought, is it worth probably like hitting myself in the face with this bottle of wine because the plane is so bumpy, or do I just give it to him? And I literally scored like
gave you a big bottle of
half
wine.
A bottle of wine. Whoa. I was like, okay, cool, thanks. And I had to serve myself in my seat.
How big is this plane? Is it what Leanne just referred to?
Yeah, it was one of those tiny little ones.
So you feel like you're flying private almost.
You know, you think private, then you're sitting next to Tani Mariki and reality.
See, and you don't have a lot of leg room.
See, yeah. On planes like that, you are lucky you're being served anything.
And you know, I got there and I got to do some work in Bloemfontein, but I always look for what's the attraction? What do people do in the town? Is there a great park? Is there a game reserve? Is there a beach? And Bloemfontein, there was a quaint little restaurant called New York in Bloemfontein, which is situated right next to a nappy convenience store. Not just a grocery store, but a full-fledged nappy store. And the people that I was with, we were sitting at dinner trying to figure out, why is there a full store just devoted to nappies?
Is it adult nappies?
Just nappies. Everyone's for nappies. Babies. Oh. That's all it is. And we came to the conclusion that if there's nothing else to do in Bloemfontein, well, you just look at your significant other in the eye. You go, hey, let's get it on. And that... That responds to at the end
you
of
make
the day,
babies.
Tons of babies.
Like no TV.
It's the city of roses.
Oh, annual Rose Festival roses? Every single year. That's the go-to. I'm sorry. You know, Bloom is a quaint little place, and you know the people there are warm and they're friendly, but it's just not my cup of tea.
It's also the home of the cheetahs.
No, that doesn't make any difference to Sia.
No.
Sia doesn't care about that at all.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. What a weekend. There are a couple of things that we have to get into today. First of all, Malusi Gigaba's penis.
Is it everywhere?
Everywhere.
We saw the honorable member of that. Honorable member.
I haven't watched it because I just feel like I shouldn't.
I haven't seen the video.
I feel embarrassed for him. I feel embarrassed for his family.
Don't, I'm going to see how easy it is to find this
don't,
thing.
Don't, Leanne. Yeah. If you haven't, don't. Trust me. If I couldn't see that, I
would. And apparently it was him and his wife.
No.
Oh, no.
See, but that's not even a sex tape. Jeepers, is that him?
See, have you found the sex tape?
Yep. No, that's not.
No, that's just some guy choking a chicken.
Yeah, but that he is. So, okay, this is what I know. All I've received is a screenshot of him kind of holding his death can. He's looking down at it.
Penis.
I mean, he's letting nothing stay for the imagination.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I can't. Oh,
yeah.
So it's a 14-second video.
You've seen it?
Is that how long it takes him?
Mm-hmm. It's just him playing with himself.
No.
And then this is the iconic line,
can you
though.
See his head? No. His face?
You can see his... You can see his head, and you can see his face. So there's no denying that it's not him in the video. But the kicker is that in the video he goes, baby.
Imagine this in your mouth.
Now imagine this if it was in your mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, and then there's some screenshot of, or a photoshopped Nando's ad as well.
Yes. One of those fake ads that people make, and then Nando's go, hey, it's not us.
I so hope someone jumps onto this line, because it's so iconic now.
They call it the gigabyte meal.
Hey, baby, what is it?
Imagine if this was in your mouth. Mmm. I think they're
Wow.
Well, shame. I mean, come imagine on. That was you. I just can't deal with that.
Please don't use the word imagine. It's too soon right now. But Leanne, what you did here is that, yeah, it was this alleged video of Malusi and his wife Norma. That's the whole PR spin on things. The second PR spin they're trying to go with is the fact that he sent this to his wife. But everyone is already going, no,
you don't
probably
have to imagine.
Not.
If you sent it to your wife, why would you have to imagine?
Exactly. She doesn't have anything to imagine.
Oh, so she's not actually in the video. It's just
Then
dealer's choice on where this could have gone.
There we go. Most likely it was sent to a girlfriend or someone on the side. Mm-hmm. But if Norma still loves being flown private, she'll go with this whole thing of course.
Yeah,
she'll
Camille that and get on with it.
Mm.
Camille it. Is that the new word?
Camille Cosby.
It's, it's when you just put up with your spouse's dodginess.
I can't look at him the same way.
Well, over the weekend there was a Blexit. Do you know what that is? Blacks leaving the Democratic Party to go and join the Republican Party.
I need
Kanye West led the Blexit.
We need new terminology. We need to be updated on these things.
So Kanye led the Blexit, and he has designed a whole bunch of Blexit apparel, urging black people to leave the Democrats. And he said Blexit is a renaissance for black people. But just before we move on from the Malusi Gigaba thing, I did see attorney Dario Milo, who's one of the people who is relied upon to give useful information and useful legal guidance in these kinds of invasions of privacy situations. And he says, look, everyone, even if you're a public figure, you're entitled to some privacy. And he said, this is not in the public interest because it doesn't have any effect on Malusi's role in government or anything else. I mean, you could argue that this, you know, especially if he's sending it to someone other than his wife, which he denies he's doing, that shows that he's a dishonest guy and maybe you shouldn't be electing dishonest people. But when did that ever stop us from electing politicians? And he said he's entitled to his privacy, as are you.
Like some people were really a bit much. The one tweet, I've just seen the video. Gigaba, you need to respect yourself, the public, and the office you hold, and resign. This is just disgusting. Oh, well, are they saying that they don't do that sort of thing themselves?
Well, you know, how many times have we discussed on this show, there is no privacy anymore. Forget about it. Like, everybody is going to eventually have something online that they're embarrassed about, whether it's an opinion, whether it's a status update, whether it's a picture, whether it's a dick pic, whatever it might be. Everybody's eventually going to have something. And the only alternative to that is that you completely remove yourself from electronics. And you cordon yourself off in a world like a hick that lives in the jungle that has nothing to do with modern technology. That's the only alternative you have. It's one or the other. That's it, I'm afraid. Right?
True.
So don't go too hard on Malusi Gigaba here just because nobody knows you and nobody cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is less interested in you than you could possibly imagine. Don't think for a second that you are in some way better or superior to Malusi Gigaba in this respect. So there's the serious angle on this, according to Dario Milo. He deserves his privacy, and he can, if anyone passes this around, he can actually go after them individually and severally. So if you've seen the video and you've passed it on to someone else, he could come after you.
See, that was the thing a lot of people were starting to notice yesterday, because there were some accounts that were even suspended yesterday. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. I don't know who you're working with, Gigabyte, but this is about one powerful team. The main account that shared the video first was the parody account of Advocate Barry Roo.
And that's gone?
He was suspended for a couple of hours. And
well, you know that's the EFF account.
I shall neither confirm nor deny. No, idea.
It's very simple. It is.
And when the account was reactivated, the original tweet was taken off at that point. So the account was still responding to people, but the video wasn't there originally. So his team are acting pretty fast.
All right.
Sure, you imagine the money spent on that, huh?
Oh, yeah. We've got to talk. This week is the week that Discovery are bringing out Bill Clinton, they're bringing out David Cameron, and they're bringing Crooked Hillary.
Because you can solve the national health crisis with those MC fees.
I suppose you could. We'll ask them.
Crooked Hillary's in the tens of millions, isn't she?
She's very expensive. She and Bill charge, I think it's $750,000 a piece.
Oof.
A piece.
A piece, yeah. So I don't know whether they're paying full price or whether, you know, they have a particular reason for coming to South Africa. Who knows?
Like, I'd be a bit upset if I was Hillary and Bill gets the same as me.
Why?
Well,
I mean, look at Bill.
Yeah, she's a lot more relevant. She should get
look
more.
Look what Hillary's done the last few years. She's been prolific.
Bill looks terrible. He looks terrible.
Do we know what they're speaking on while they're here?
No. But people will go to listen to Hillary. I just got a book called What Happened, which clearly indicates she has no idea.
Oh. Wait, the title is called What Happened?
It's called but it's not with a question mark. She's saying what happened as in, I'll tell you what happened.
Oh,
but I still think that there should be a question mark because she doesn't answer the question, and I've read the book. Not interesting and not useful. It doesn't explain a damn thing. She seems to have learnt nothing during the course of her presidential candidacy. Nothing. She cannot understand. She blames the FBI for that Comey leak. She blames the Republican Party. She blames Middle America. She blames Donald Trump. She blames Bernie Sanders. She blames everyone. She's incapable of taking any personal responsibility. That's the overwhelming. And this is her book. So I'm not misinterpreting her.
Mm.
This is what she's saying in the book.
It was her chance to.
Everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that that's what her book is called, because I do believe the question mark is the only thing that the publishers left off the cover.
I think the book is a bit too dramatic. The opening lines of it are, as she sets the scene of Trump's inauguration, and she and Bill had to be there, and she writes, "Deep breath. Feel the air fill my lungs. This is the right thing to do. The country needs to see that our democracy still works, no matter how painful this is. Breathe out and scream later."
Yeah, you see, this is the whole problem. And I don't know if you noticed, but the left is lost in Brazil as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a right. They call him far right. But the only thing I can seem to find that would indicate that he's far right is that he's a liberal Democrat.
Yeah, but the way people who say far right try to discredit somebody.
So the right have won in Brazil. The left are just losing everywhere at the moment. What you've got to do is monitor your own language here to figure out whether you're left or right. If you're the kind of person who talks about your feelings, you explain how you feel, and you think that that's relevant to other people the whole time, you're probably a leftist. I mean, Hillary in that extract is busy saying, "Deep breath. I've got to do this for the American people. I'm feeling terrible. I'll scream later." This kind of emotive language is the kind of language of someone who's indulged and someone who feels that they are relevant just because they have feelings. As opposed to someone who goes, "I'm at the presidential inauguration. There are this many people around. It's not as big a crowd as Obama's." You know, that would have been an interesting observation. But she's not capable of thinking that way. She talks in emotions. She talks about her feelings. She thinks other people care about her feelings. And the one thing you need to know quite clearly, and there's an election coming up in America in the next 8 days, and guess what's going to happen? People's feelings are going to get hurt again. You know, when Trump won in 2016, there were a bunch of people in the streets of New York, because I was there, I saw it, protesting and screaming. They were screaming. There were people standing at barricades, looking at the Trump building, going, "Ah!" Yeah. That's what they were doing.
No.
They were making amazing memes for all of us to share.
And this is the kind of thing that happens if you are so deep in your feelings that you don't realize there's a world of rational stuff going on around you. There's an economy that ticks over. There are political, legislative concerns that need human attention. And I mean rational human attention. That there are people working in science and mathematics. These people do not care about how you feel about Hillary or Donald or anything else. Nobody does.
Yeah, it's kind of like describing what a woman is and the way she can be emotional.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take on a position like that, you need to be able to bring in the rational.
Well, this is it. And certainly I think women have powers that men don't have in terms of intuition, their ability to read others, their ability to communicate far more effectively a lot of the time than men do. And there are strengths that men have as opposed to women. And those strengths are in terms of security, of not letting their feelings get in the way, a bunch of other things on both sides. But you're not gonna prove to the American people that they made a bad decision by writing a book about how you felt.
Mm.
In fact, what it's going to do is it's going to prove to so many people that they made exactly the right decision by not voting for you. But she can't see it. Just can't see it. So I'm interested to hear what she has to say this week. I will be attending and I will listen intently and I will bring you whatever thoughts I have of that so we can share our discussions post Hillary's speech at the Discovery Leadership Summit.
Then again, don't set foot in Sandton unless you're going there on Thursday.
It's going to be a
mess.
Can you imagine the security? You've got a past prime minister, past president, and a past presidential candidate there. It's going to be chaos. The roads are just going to be all kinds of hell. In fact, I suppose the best thing to do there is almost to be dropped by the Gautrain.
Or fly, or something like that.
Just walk.
Fly.
Parachute in.
Yeah.
Parachute in.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about this morning. Let's get into some news, the things you need to know today. We've got the full complement here. Leanne's here. Ben is here. Sia's here. And Nolo's here, along with me. All right. First thing, we've spoken about the Gigaba sex tape, but everybody's really talking about how this might affect his political career. And one of the analysts, I'm not sure who it is, I think it's Ralph Madega, has said that he doesn't think the sex video will have an impact on him politically, and I think that's right. I mean,
it's people's perceptions, really, and that doesn't come into play when you're dealing with a political career.
Well, I also
you
think
can think what you like. They're there.
Notoriety is what people love in politics. You know, Stormy Daniels, Monica Lewinsky, Kim Kardashian.
I think it also depends on what the opposing party will choose to do with it.
What opposing party?
How they'll
party?
Manipulate it to their advantage.
Which? Oh, you mean the opposition party?
Yes.
I don't think it can help them at all.
Well,
what is the DA going to say? This is immoral. Then they're going to chase people away. Trust me.
If we believe what Minister Gigaba put out in his tweets yesterday, he says this video was taken from his phone between 2016 and 2017 during a hack of his phone, and there are several high-powered politicians, I can't even speak this morning, who were using this video for the past couple of years and circulating it as some sort of blackmail. So perhaps there is something about people feeling they want to one-up him or feeling like they have a hold over him with this video. So I don't know what sort of effect it might have.
But if you remember, Buhle's PowerPoint presentation, was it last year, I think?
Who's that?
Buhle, what's her name? The alleged side chick.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the one living in New York?
That's the one. She threatened that she had a lot of damaging material.
Yeah.
That she was
Here's the thing, right? If you've passed this along and if you've been part of the chain that has made him famous because of this, then he could come after you personally. You shouldn't pass this stuff along if you didn't make it, is the rule. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to hurt him. It might even make him more popular. That's kind of how it works these days, right? If you think about the famous people of our age, you know, the Paris Hiltons and the Kim Kardashians, and these are people who've all had very, very private video material put out there, and it hasn't hurt them one little bit. In fact, you could say it's helped them.
Industry relevance, though. They're not politicians, they're not...
Yeah, but this is a guy who quoted Kendrick Lamar in a budget speech.
Yeah, Ben.
This is the best thing that's happened to this guy's career. That.
We're going to be right. We're going to be all right.
He's sitting there going, oh, this is so great. I'm so happy about this.
Then there was a plane crash. I don't know if you heard about this, but Indonesia's search and rescue agency said on Monday that a Lion Air passenger flight from Jakarta, the capital, to the city of Pangkalpiang, off the island of Sumatra, had crashed into the sea. It's been confirmed that it had crashed, said Yusuf Latif, a spokesperson for the agency. When asked about the fate of the Lion Air plane, it was not immediately clear how many people were on board. The plane lost contact 13 minutes after takeoff, adding a tugboat leaving the capital's port had seen the craft falling. Ugh.
That's hard.
When I hear about like some boat somewhere seeing a plane crashing into the sea, I just go cold. Anyway, so the plane apparently fell into the sea near Sumatra, and it was a Boeing 737, according to the Air Tracking Service Flight Radar 24. It took off at 6:20 a.m. It was due to have landed in the capital of Bunkabang.
What now?
Basically, Bunka Belitung, which is a tin mining hub, at 7:20 a.m. We cannot give any comment at this moment. We are trying to collect all the information and data. Oof, planes. You know, we get in them every day, and they really are the safest way to get from A to B, because the number of plane accidents as compared to car accidents or anything else is tiny. But when we hear about them, we all get a little bit uncomfortable. Apparently, there was a terrible shack fire in Ekurhuleni over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah.
Police will launch an investigation into the cause of the fire that destroyed some shacks at the Angelo informal settlement in Boksburg. Five shacks caught alight Sunday night before officials managed to prevent the fire from spreading further. Well, at least they managed to prevent it, right? And I've heard some pretty scary stories about how thinly spread our fire services are.
Hmm.
Like, if you have a fire, you're pretty much alone. There are very few people who can come in up. Yeah. There's not a lot of fire rescue infrastructure in South Africa, and there isn't a lot of capacity there. Ekurhuleni EMS spokesperson Ben Jones said, on arrival, we found out that five shacks were burning. We managed to extinguish the fire, and there was no one injured, and the scene was handed over to the South African Police Services for further investigation. Of course, now they're going to try and find out whether or not there was arson. You know, someone lit the fire on purpose. And we'll obviously have to wait to see.
Well, actually, you saying that the fire services are thinly stretched makes sense now. One of my mum's carers, she's a nurse, mm-hmm. an assistant nurse. She's a volunteer paramedic and a volunteer firefighter.
Yeah.
And when there was that horrible fire recently in Joburg, on the 23rd floor or something, which building was it again?
I can't remember, but I remember the story, week. Yeah.
The people who died in that, there were three firefighters who died. She knew them all.
Oof.
So that just shows how small the circle is.
Yeah.
She just volunteers every now and then, and she knew them all. She works with them.
She sounds like a gem.
She's unbelievable.
Volunteer
She's
firefighter, volunteer paramedic, and volunteer carer. She sounds like someone who does a whole lot more than she's expected to in this world.
No, she's amazing.
Good for her. Thank God for people like that.
Mm.
Pravin Gordhan says that anti-graft efforts face a dangerous fight back. Listen to this. He says that he's been tasked by Cyril Ramaphosa with cleaning up state-owned enterprises like utility Eskom, which suffered misgovernance. That's a nice word to use, misgovernance, under former President Jacob Zuma. He says that efforts to clean up corruption in state-owned enterprises faced dangerous resistance, which threatened the country's sovereignty. In an opinion piece in the Sunday Times yesterday, he said new boards had started to address the depth of corruption and criminal behavior that seems to have been endemic in these institutions, but the dangerous and unscrupulous fightbacks against our reform efforts continue. If we allow this fight back to prevail, we risk losing our sovereignty, he said, without naming who was behind the backlash. Now that sounds to me like a very sinister thing. I wish you would be more specific, Praveen.
It's very fishy.
Hmm.
I think if I'm president one day, I'd like to be called misgovernance.
Misgovernance. Mm. That can be your name. All right, and finally, in our five things you need to know, apparently Nelson Mandela's house, the Royal House of Mandela, has wished F.W. de Klerk a speedy recovery. Apparently, he's not well. The exact details surrounding his condition are still sketchy, but he's 82 years old. He was admitted on Friday to the Panorama Hospital in Cape Town. De Klerk was the last apartheid-era president of South Africa before serving as deputy president from 1994 to 1996.
He apparently had some fluid on the lungs, or like in between the membrane and the lungs. But apparently he has been treated and is due to be discharged next week.
All right.
So it's not too dire. Doesn't sound dire.
Well, the Royal House of Mandela has wished de Klerk well, adding it trusts he's receiving the best medical treatment. It has lauded the 82-year-old's contribution to South Africa's transition to democracy and has said it hopes he recovers swiftly. So there are some news stories you need to know today. We're going to get to more of them after 7 o'clock, but let's turn our attention right now to Ben with the sport.
Well, Gareth, a bit of a sad weekend for Leicester City. Terrible helicopter crash there. David Warner walks off after being sledged, and Pirates win the Soweto Derby. The owner of Leicester City has died in a helicopter crash, literally taking off from the stadium over the weekend. Vichai Srivadhanaprada and two members of his staff, plus pilot and passenger, all engulfed in this fireball as the helicopter crashed to the ground around 8:30 Saturday. Wow, this is pretty sad. Of course, he bought this club back in the day when it was actually nothing, really. I think he paid all of...
Sure.
He bought it for £39 million in 2010. Okay, no, Leicester, who's Leicester? And then they went on and obviously won the league in 2016. There were 5,000 to 1 outsiders. He was loved by all. He really was. He was that happy Thai individual. He brought new life and new hope to the fans, the players, to everybody, essentially. And, of course, this is just such the most unexpected of accidents. Of course, when you're super rich, there's various ways you go about traveling and transporting yourself from place to place. And helicopters, well, let's be honest, when a helicopter crashes, you haven't got much chance.
No.
So particularly sad there for Leicester. And, of course, the mourning is taking place, flowers all over the stadium. It's really sad, huh? Very, very sad. In actual Premier League results from the weekend, well, there was good fortune for Man United. Yes, they finally won something. They beat Everton 2-1 at home. Chelsea hammered Burnley 4-0. And Arsenal, after 11 games of being winners, Crystal Palace managed to get a late equaliser at Selhurst Park, and with that, recorded a 2-2 result. Saturday, West Ham, I mentioned, they drew 1-1 with West Ham. Southampton, Newcastle bore the crap out of everyone, 0-0. Watford beating Huddersfield Town 3-0. Fulham got hammered at home by Bournemouth 3-0. And Liverpool, big result for them, 4-1. They do score goals, they are an attractive team. They beat Cardiff, a huge result there. And then Brighton and Wolves, 1-0 to Brighton. Well done. In the PSL, of course, the big Soweto derby was all that everyone cared about. And Chiefs got off to a fantastic start. They were 1-0 up. The bar that I was watching in, full of Chiefs fans, they were just over the moon. Then everything went a bit quiet. That's because Pirates scored 2 goals coming from behind, and that was how it would remain. So 2-1, and Pirates kind of keep the stranglehold over this fixture. If they're not drawing, they're winning. And Kaiser Chiefs haven't done that in quite some time. Other selected results from the weekend, Wits beat Highlands Park 1-0. They still carry on very well. Cape Town City beat AmaZulu 3-0. Chipper United beat Sundowns. Wow, big result there for Chipper. 1-0 they won. And then SuperSport United drew 1-1 with Golden Arrows. In cricket, now in all that David Warner, he was that sort of poison dwarf who made it all about himself and that ball tampering thing. And we all know he was the man behind it. He was the little shit who was pulling the strings.
Right.
Throwing Cameron Bancroft under the bus. And, well, he's a toxic element to the team. Well, apparently he actually walked off the field this last weekend because someone sledged him. After a hurtful sledge, the batsman playing club cricket, because he's banned from international or state cricket, he walked off. And his wife, who has now become his spokesperson, I think he married her because she is a bit of a mother figure to him, said, well, look, it was just, they went too far. But the person who gave the sledge, this is where the story gets quite interesting, is the brother of Phil Hughes. Now, Phil Hughes is the Australian batsman who died after being hit with a bouncer on the field. So David Warner says that he was in his mid-30s at the time at the crease, and he walked off. He said, look, it was just too personal, it was really offensive, and he walked off. He did come back onto the field and ended up scoring a big 100. But speculation suggests that Hughes, who obviously, I mean... Imagine your brother dies playing cricket around the field, just drops dead. So he had some very harsh things to say to Warner around the state of him being weak and a disgrace.
Hmm.
I mean, you got to think, for him to walk off the field, of course, David Warner was good friends with Phil Hughes.
Sure.
For Warner to walk off the field, and this is not me defending him because I don't think he's worth defending, but to put our minds in his position, imagine someone like a good friend of yours who died, their brother, then starts giving you absolute gears about being a disgrace and about being weak. Like, you can't sledge the guy back. I mean, he's lost his brother recently. So he must have felt like he was really in a corner. So it goes from bad to worse for David Warner. It really does. Mentally, this guy must think about cricket right now and just want to vomit.
But yeah, that's awful. That is awful.
Look, to speculate, can you imagine, let's just speculate for a second. Imagine Phil Hughes' brother said, my brother would have died for playing for your country. And you bring into disrepute with your sandpaper and your cheating. Sure. I reckon the sledge was along those kind of lines.
That's probably what it was. Everyone wants to know, right?
Yeah, because you never know the full story. No one ever goes into it. Like Candace Warner will say, I don't want to say what was being said, because they always try to take this moral high ground. But I reckon the sledge is along those terms. Lewis Hamilton's won the F1 thing again. That's pretty kind of, everyone saw that one coming. But SA's Kevin Anderson, he beat Kei Nishikori and won the Vienna ATP something or other.
Well, it means that he's...
He won in Austria.
Yes.
How big's that? I'll tell you how big it is. He now gets to play Masters Series, the final eight, Leanne. If you're in the final eight in tennis, wow, you're making money. Plus, you get to play in that amazing event in London, where the final eight, the big ATP thingy at the end of the year. Sorry, top ten. He's in the final eight now. There's two more to go. Jeepers, I'm murdering the story. Look, since 1995, there hasn't been a South Africa in this final ten. That's where I'm really going with this. And Kevin Anderson, after a fantastic year, I mean, he made the Wimbledon finals. Mm-hmm. The year prior to that, he was US Open finals. But this is probably the much biggest career win for him in Vienna. And beating Kei Nishikori is obviously a big deal. Japanese player is quite a household name in all of tennis. So he will join Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Juan Martin Del Potro, Roger Federer, and Alexander Zverev, plus two other people that will be decided at the Paris Masters starting today. So that will be a real career highlight for Kev. Good tall Kev doing wonders there. In rugby, the Sharks, they upset Western Province. I say upset because, well, they did. I mean, you want to win on the weekend, and you were the form team coming into it, although Province were quite jaded against the Bulls. Maybe we should have seen more into that, because the Sharks, the game wasn't great. It was 17-12 in the end, the Sharks winning that one. But Province were essentially very, very blunt in attack, and that was a team that was going very well throughout the season. But it was typical finals rugby. It was a battle of attrition. And as Bob Skinstead would say, no quarter was asked or given.
Yeah, there was some dreary post-match interviews that I managed to catch the back end of while I was dozing.
You always catch the best of sport. Huh?
While I was dozing off. Yeah, it was horrible. I don't know why they do that. They just don't do it. Yeah, just say to the guys, hey,
it's
well
for sponsor done. Branding. Right. So you can get sponsors to have their names there.
Well, if I were the sponsors, I'd be embarrassed to be associated with those kinds of answers to those kinds of questions.
Gareth, but it's all screen time for them. That's what they build into their KPIs, performance packages, all that kind of all stuff. Right. But after that, Rusty Erasmus named the box squad to go to the Northern Hemisphere, shiver their balls off, and get some box caps, hopefully. There were three names added that have not played for the box yet, and that was Western Province players. Sergio Peterson made it in, JD Schickling made it in, and then Ruan Nell, he made it in. So that you got a lock in JD Schickling, which he'll never, I mean, he'll hold a tackle bag. Lock stocks are pretty solid for the box right now. But of course, this is about developing a broader pool of players going into the World Cup next year. Sergio Peterson also, he'll battle make it into this team, as will Ruan Nell. These guys are basically just going for the experience. And that's the great thing about this whole end of year tour, is that more guys get a taste of what it's like to be a bock. Luis Skrida, he's come into the team, and he looks like he's going to actually play, as in be the starting scrum half. Now, if you're a Sharks fan, you know the guy's definitely got some talent. If you're a Western Province fan, you probably remember when he was just so bloody average back in a few years ago. But the guy has developed quite a lot. He had to suffer the indignity of playing for the Kings for a while, so I mean, you know he's humble, and his game has to be quite well-rounded. Of course, Faf de Klerk is being held under house arrest, essentially, by the Sale Sharks. After a fantastic year in the green and gold, he went back to his English team that pay him lots of money to keep his hair gold and flowing. And they said, look, that's it. You're not playing the international break. Simple as that. Try takers on. We got the cash, bitches. So that'll be, this is the end of year tour. Now, it starts quick. This weekend already, 3rd of November, England versus South Africa. That's the big one of the tour. And then Saturday we'll see, Saturday the 10th after that will be France versus Australia. Sorry, South Africa. The Saturday after that, the box play the Scots. And the Saturday after that, 24th of November, the final match will be Wales versus South Africa at the Principality Stadium, where they sing very, very well. That's pretty much it for your sport from the weekend. Yeah, there's nothing really else. Barcelona thrashed Real Madrid 5-1 in El Clasico. And it'll be El Firo for the coach pretty soon for Real Madrid, I think.
El Firo, huh?
Well, El thrown out in your arse, though. Because he just hasn't recorded the results. Nothing's going his way. And Real Madrid, after Ronaldo left, well, they've been in tatters. Of course, Zidane also leaving didn't help. But Barcelona, 5-1. Suarez got three goals. Coutinho got another one. Vidal got another one. That's just embarrassing.
I saw like a before and after of Cristiano Ronaldo. where it just says money, you know, money works when it comes to looking good. Mm-hmm. And he looked awful years ago. He's had a lot of work done. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize.
Yeah, and his teeth, most of them were going offside the whole time. They were everywhere.
They were not only, it wasn't only a gap, they were also facing outwards.
It was like watching it like diamond formation move upfield, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's had his ears done and everything. I was like quite shocked.
Pretty much. But Real Madrid are now ninth on La Liga. Ninth. Getafe are above them. Levante.
Don't say that your star player doesn't make your team.
Well, there you go. People want to crap on about the fact that sports stars aren't bigger than life. Well, take away Ronaldo. What do you got? Right. Ninth. You got ninth. That's what you got, Real Madrid.
Absolutely. All right, we haven't done this for a while, I realized the other day, but Bitcoin $6,475 and Ethereum $204, which leads us into Anthea. Yeah, in Spanish. That's right. Here she is. Good morning, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Always a good way to start my week. Before we talk about the markets, please can I answer some of our Twitter followers and listeners who asked me the funniest question last week?
Yeah, go ahead.
They asked what is incentive distribution rights? I mean, for heaven's sake, who knows what that is?
So, we don't know? Well,
it's not the kind of question I get from like an ordinary investor, normal person. It's a very market-specific term, IDR. And basically, asset managers charge for managing your money. So anything from 0.25% to 4% per annum. And some asset managers, particularly hedge fund managers, also take a share of the profit that they make with your money.
Okay.
So that's where the term 2 and 20 for hedge fund managers comes from. 2% for your annual management fee and 20% of the profits they make. And all IDR is that it's an increasing management fee or performance
like
or profit fee.
It's like a commission.
Profit sharing, we call it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if it's commission. We charge you an annual management fee. Everybody knows that, right?
All right.
But then sometimes we share profits as well. And so IDR basically starts the manager off at 2%, and as the cash flow, the profits increase, it increases to 20% of the profits. That's all it is.
Jesus.
Very fancy term for very. And all it does really is align the fund managers. Incentives with the investors' incentives.
Yeah, so you both want to do well.
Exactly.
And then you both get a piece of the pie. Okay.
That's right.
So you see, we get interesting questions from people. They're not asking you boring stuff.
Very interesting. Oh, I was intrigued by it.
So let's get into the markets. Another crappy week in the JSE.
Yes, another week. 2.5% down. I mean, I think that's the fifth negative week. But it's not just us. Everything took some, all the global markets took pain again last week. And particularly the American and Chinese tech stocks, which we've seen carry on hitting all-time highs in the last couple of months, are now under pressure. And really, I think it's about what the governments are doing. You know, so Trump and his trade wars, the EU talking about Italy and its budget deficit, they're talking about Brexit. Although I must say, the Chinese this week started to buy shares, so they're now starting to support their market. And I suspect going forward that the governments will realize that they actually need to do something to lift these stock markets. Or maybe they don't, but I suspect that they'll feel obliged to start doing something to change what's going on, because it really has been a horrific 5 weeks for us.
All right, so are there companies that are breaking the trend?
Look, here's a surprise for you. Tesla. They reported results last week, and you know Elon Musk has had the worst of times.
I mean, they were investigated by the SEC. He was tweeting and causing trouble, and people were talking about inside trading.
And calling analysts boneheads and all sorts of nonsense, and saying he's going to take the company private at $420 a share.
Right.
Then the share fell to below $300 when he started going on and telling everyone how he's taking Ambien and crying and on TV and all this kind of nonsense. The problem, of course, is that Tesla hasn't been making money, but last week they released results saying that finally, free cash flow was about $881 million, a complete turnabout, considering that the previous quarters he's been burning through $1 billion a quarter. Hein? Remember this? I told you. Yeah, it's quite something. So it feels like...
So are there shares up again over 400?
No, unfortunately not. It only got to about 330 from below 300.
It's at least he's turned the tide.
But he's on the right trend, yeah. Okay. And then locally we had Clicks stores. They great set of results, actually. Surprisingly so. Diluted headline earnings per share up 15%. Basically... they're growing in every single market category, which is a nice surprise, especially since we saw Dis-Chem's results the week before, and those were spectacular as well.
So they compare with each other?
Pretty much in line, yes, I would say. The one thing that's surprising is that Dis-Chem, I don't know if you know something called single exit pricing. It's really government's way of keeping... the maximum price on drugs or medications, I should say drugs. So it's kind of a policy to keep pricing of medication in kind of...
In other words, there's an upper limit.
There's an upper limit. We call it SEP, single exit pricing.
All right.
And what's interesting about it is that Dis-Chem was saying that they expect SEP to go up by 6%. Clicks expects it to go up by 2%. And I know that sounds small, like 4% differential.
Yeah.
But actually in these pharmacy companies, that's huge. So we'll see what's going to happen going forward. If it does go up by 6%, yes, these shares will absolutely skyrocket. There's no doubt about it.
Well, won't that also affect companies like Aspen?
Yes, absolutely.
Who's had a terrible year.
Dreadful time of it. I mean, that share's basically halved in the last, 3-4 months.
All right. Well, can you tell us about this? I saw Jack Ma was here over the weekend.
Yes, because of the investment summit. How's that?
Tell me about this.
Fantastically interesting. So two things about Alibaba. The first thing, I think a lot of it really was for the investment summit, and we're all very excited because I think Ramaphosa finally feels like he's got it right. You know, he reiterated that the ANC is going to focus on economic growth and job creation, which is fantastic, and hopefully he'll now walk the talk. But he does seem to be, because he also said that in this investment summit, he's now managed to acquire or accumulate another 290 billion rand towards his $100 billion investment inflow, which is fantastic, because that now brings his total number raised to $55 billion.
That's
well
impressive.
Done.
He also had this to say.
And it's wonderful the way that we have seen it evolving here tonight. And so that is great. And the other thing that I learned is the three E's: education, entrepreneurship, and an efficient government. But what I particularly liked is that we should treat our entrepreneurs as heroes and move away from what we had become fed with and accustomed to here, where we treated our entrepreneurs and business people and called them all sorts of names. We treated them like enemies and white monopoly capital and all that. That must end today. We want to make our business people heroes. Business people who are here.
How does it feel to go from being WMC to a hero?
Well, I don't know. I was never WMC. I'm not big enough. But yes, white monopoly capital, you can take a take a breather.
I don't know about the three E's, but my grandfather always believed in the three R's. He said you can't get through life without the three R's.
Reading,
writing and arithmetic.
Yeah. It's funny that writing is also spelled with a W, but there we go. All right.
Spelling not an R, clearly.
All right. Anyway, so that was at the investment summit. So yeah. Jack Ma and Alibaba, what's the other story about that?
The other story with Alibaba is that Richemont announced a strategic partnership with them, which is very exciting. They'll now be offering their Yuke's Meta Porter range to the Chinese consumer. I think they already deliver to China, but they're going to make it a very specific platform now. They'll launch a mobile app. They'll call it, there's also a Mr. Porter, like, you know, Netta Porter, Mr. Porter in China.
Yes.
And something called Tmall, which is the luxury pavilion, they call it. And you can only really get onto that if you're invited. So that's all about exclusivity.
Ooh.
I have not been invited to Tmall just yet.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of the big news there. They haven't put numbers to it as yet, or if they have, they probably have. They just haven't released the numbers to us. But I think a great strategic agreement there.
All right, very good.
And then in smaller company news, because wait, there's more. Mm-hmm. Verimark announced on Monday that they will delist the company.
Verimark delisting, that doesn't mean that they are going under, Sia. It just means that they're not going to offer public shares, right?
That's right, because actually Henry on Monday did a very, very quick, he was so on the ball. The minute he saw it come out, he did a net asset value calculation and realized that the share was trading 25% below net asset value. So if you took kind of all the assets, just the, you know, the tangible stuff, not the non-tangible stuff like brand and mm-hmm. people and all that, and the share jumped 17.5%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very illiquid share, so it was really hard for the rest of us to keep up with Henry, but, you know.
Illiquid? What does that mean, Anthony?
It means it doesn't trade very much. So the 50 shares he bought, I don't know, he made 500 rand or something. Oh. Not much, right? That's what I'm saying.
You have to work really hard for your money, Sia, is the theme here.
So hard for it, honey.
Evidently.
Okay. How about this company, Stadio?
So you remember Stadio was spun out of Cura, the education business. Right. Yeah. They announced that they're acquiring another higher education business, this time Prestige Academy. They're acquiring 100%. Again, they haven't told us what the numbers are. But this is, I think this is like the 16th higher education business that they've bought or something. So they really are going for it and privatizing higher education or tertiary education in South Africa, which I think is interesting because you know that they're kind of Curo and Advitech focused, really. They started out in primary schools, and then went into higher schools and now focusing tertiary education. Definitely, I think education in South Africa is shifting very much more to the middle class and towards kind of the semi-private model, if you like. Government clearly not fulfilling the role of free education in the country just yet.
No, but that's fine. It means opportunity for other people.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good enough way to start the week.
Okay,
all right.
Super.
Let's hope that we see an uptick in the stock market this week.
Oh, please.
You need some good news.
I really do. Thank you.
All right, Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. It's 7 o'clock on the dot. We're going to check in with Sia now and find out what's happening in Said by Sia. Take it away, Sia. What do you want to tell us this morning?
Doesn't Stadio sound like a book, a series of romance novels featuring
a
main character named Stadio? Anyway.
Stadio, where have you been?
I was always right here for you, Esmeralda.
Looking into Kuro's eyes, Stadio and Kuro. Good news coming out of Australia this morning, of all places. Okay. Two police officers are being hailed for the sweet act that they did for an elderly woman just recently. So these two men are from Brisbane, and they really did go above and beyond their call of duty by... wait for it, helping repair an elderly woman's door and house in response to an attempted break-in at her home.
Aww.
So their Constable Matt Boswell and Senior Constable Christopher Couch, they arrived. I know, Christopher Couch, it has a certain ring to it, doesn't it?
I'm Christopher Couch. I'm here to make sure everything's all right.
They got the call to help this panicked elderly woman out after someone tried to break into her home. And for now, they haven't found whoever the suspects are, but the suspects broke down her door and they were rummaging through the front of her house, including just ripping the window panes and the doors off its hinges. And the first thing they supposedly asked as soon as they saw this woman all shaken up was, "Do you want a cup of tea?"
Well, that's always a good thing to ask an old person.
Old people love tea. So they gave her some tea. She sat in the corner. They followed all of the proper procedures with the case. But then afterwards, they started, you know, they whipped out a toolbox and they helped her out by fixing her house.
Young man.
So Constable Boswell says, "I went to work bending the hinges back and drilling new screw holes to rehang the door on the door jamb."
In our country, you'd be lucky that the police weren't the ones robbing you.
Yeah.
Well, or the fact that they've arrived.
Yeah.
Constable Boswell says it was not perfect by any means, but the door was locked and secured. Oh, that was the most important thing. And they said before they left, the officers left a note for her handyman to assist with making her house even more secure. So the police service is hailing these two gentlemen, saying these small acts of care even make a big difference to people in our community. And the police service is proud to have officers like Constable Boswell and Senior Constable Couch. Yeah. I think that's sweet.
It's also because there were no other crimes out there to run off to.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't think our guys have the time for that.
No, they don't. Absolutely.
Rape case there, murder charge there,
good
fixing doors
and
making
tea. You know what? You remind us of what's important here. These guys have real shit to deal with in this country.
And all that's right. Your Said by Seer for this morning.
Excellent. I hope your Monday's off to a good start. We will be here to look after you the whole way through. And we've got some news. We've got some interesting stuff, some stuff to make you feel good this morning. All of that and more on the way. It's Monday. It's almost the end of October. Are you ready? Yeah. Ass, are you ready for November?
Yeah, like I said, it's basically January.
Oh, wow.
You're such an optimist. It's so great. CliffCentral.com.